Welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week we talk to people in the industry to get the inside word on what's happening right now and what that means for the tactics you should use to make the most of your money. This week we've partnered up with AMP, who has kindly lent us their expert, Devin Whalen, a client advisor. And we're talking about if there are times when putting more into your KiwiSaver can actually be a bad idea. Making Sense is proud to partner with AMP, a fund manager with healthy returns, sustainable investments, and expert help when you need it. Visit amp.co.nz to learn more. Before we get into it, Making Sense is stoked to be supported by KiwiBank. We've teamed up to bring you insight directly from their people, the experts who live and breathe this stuff every day. It's not the outdated stuff that worked 5 years ago. It's what's happening right now in the industry to help you make the most of your money. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. Devin, this is something I've had quite a few people message me about lately, so it's great having you come on the podcast to talk about it. The general theme, I'm sort of mashing a few questions together for this one. So the general theme in lots of these questions is if you have a bit of extra cash and you're thinking, should I put this into KiwiSaver or could I make better use of it elsewhere, maybe investing it myself? If a client came to you and asked that, where would you start to help them figure out an answer?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And thanks for having me along today. I think for that, there's so many answers to it because at the end of the day, it depends on the person and what they're working towards. For example, we've got a lot of people who are, you know, self-employed. They don't get the benefits of government contributions, or they may not even have a KiwiSaver to begin with because they're the employer. They've never set it up. So when you've got a lot of people in those sort of sole traders or businesses, one of the biggest thing that we actually ask them is, well, what are your goals for that money? You know, for a lot of people, KiwiSaver, it's that long-term savings. It's a retirement or for a first home. And if they're not wanting to sort of put that money towards a first home, or they're wanting to not save for retirement, it may be an overseas trip, well, KiwiSaver may not be the right option for them. And, you know, as a little tangent to that, you've got a lot of other investment options. One of them is something that's called managed funds. And a lot of companies have them. And what it basically is it's an unlocked investment where you can put money into it, but you can also withdraw it at any time. So you have a lot of flexibility, whereas KiwiSaver, you don't have that flexibility.
I love that point of view that you're saying there on the other options that are possible, because you're right. I mean, KiwiSaver, love it. So many benefits to it, especially the government contribution, the employer contribution. Even if someone's based in another country and listening to this, most retirement schemes are similar to that, where you get perks, right, for sticking with it. But that's to make sure that it's outweighing the fact that it is usually locked away until 65, that you usually cannot access it until you're quite a bit older. Meanwhile, other types of investments, you have that flexibility, right?
Yep, absolutely. I think one of the things that we're sort of tackling the most on a lot of our calls now is really about debt. You know, a lot of people have been made redundant. The economy's hard. Price of everything's gone up. And I think when we sort of say, look, let's try and save for your retirement, a lot of people are just trying to get themselves through the next few years or dig themselves out of a hole. So really, I think it comes down to when you've got a person who's got a lot of debt, it's making sure that you've got the basics first. You've got your budget. You've got your emergency fund, you've paid off your debt, and then that's when it could be good to look at those sort of long-term retirement savings from there as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because basically KiwiSaver or other retirement savings, they are investments. Whatever type of investment, even if you're going conservative, it is still a type of investment, it's just a different type. But especially if you're going growth or aggressive, then it is definitely, you're looking at those typical investments like shares and property. Meanwhile, before getting into investing, it's having your financial stability, your financial footing sorted, right? So things like the emergency fund, making sure that the debt is handled, can that sometimes be a better use of money?
I think it can. I think it's going to depend on person to person. What people need to realize, I think, first of all, is what type of investor they are. You know, one of the things we do at AMP is we do take people through a bit of a risk review. And we can work out, you know, is it balanced funds that suit you? Is it the higher end of risk, which is aggressive funds, or is it the lower end, which is conservative? And, you know, what you'd find is if you're a lower risk investor, conservative funds may suit you. And typically, the returns aren't as high as, you know, growth funds or aggressive funds over the long term. And when you compare that to things like debt with some credit cards, it's 30%. Well, I don't think we've seen, you know, a conservative fund outperform 30%. So that's when debt, it's like, well, that's a guaranteed return on your money by paying that off and actually getting those handcuffs off you as well.
Yeah, exactly. If someone is on that stable financial footing, as in they don't have heaps of credit card debt and they do have the emergency fund set up and they're literally thinking, do I invest outside of KiwiSaver or inside of it? Where do you go on weighing that one up? Is it a little bit of a money personality thing?
It definitely is a money personality. Now, I think there's a couple types of people. You know, you may have things sorted, but if you're a bad spender, KiwiSaver can be a benefit because it locks those funds away. It doesn't give you that sort of choice. So in that regard, it could be really good for people to not have that option of actually being able to touch those funds. You've got the other side, though, where it's people that they've got a handle on everything. They're wanting to save for a rainy day or for retirement. And something outside of KiwiSaver is a great option if they're not wanting to lock their funds away. And that comes back to things like AMP, well, managed funds accounts, really. It's something where, you know, you can put money into it, which could be the goal of saving for retirement, but emergencies happen in life and you can still withdraw those funds at any stage. So it gives you a lot more flexibility than what KiwiSaver offers as well.
Looking for a way to invest that's good for you and the planet? AMP is here to help you grow your nest egg. The AMP KiwiSaver scheme and managed funds range aim to deliver sustainable, healthy returns. Choose from a range of different funds managed by some of New Zealand's leading investment managers. At AMP, their expert advisors are on hand to partner with you on your path to financial security, no matter what stage of the journey you're on. Book your free consultation with an AMP advisor today. Healthy returns, sustainable investments, and expert help when you need it. Visit amp.co.nz to learn more.
Life is full of ups and downs. So no matter what your everyday looks like, KiwiBank has the tools to help you manage your money your way. To find out more, head to kiwibank.co.nz. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi.
So if you're thinking about, you know, your KiwiSaver is sort of a type of fund, but then you've also got managed funds, what are the differences there? How do they compare?
I think when we sort of talk about those two options, the lines get a bit blurred. You know, for AMP KiwiSaver, it is a managed fund. You invest your funds, the fund manager then invests it on your behalf. And when you've got a managed fund account that's outside of KiwiSaver, that can be very similar. So what it comes down to is the sort of withdrawal rules or the investment criteria. Now, for KiwiSaver, there's a few benefits. You've got the government contributions. You've got employer contributions as well. A managed fund outside of KiwiSaver probably doesn't have those benefits. The other part, it's really about how they invest. So AMP KiwiSaver, for example, we've got many different fund managers, all right? And you don't have to just pick one of them. So we give the benefit of clients being able to diversify a bit, and then that way they don't have all of their eggs in one basket. Managed funds outside of KiwiSaver, it can be similar. You can sign up with different providers. You can sign up with AMP, for example. So you've got a whole lot of options. It's really about choosing what's going to be best for you. And I think one of the biggest things is, you know, we take our cars to a mechanic because they're an expert at the end of the day. And it's similar with advisors. You know, we're the expert to help you help guide people through that experience and help give them advice on what's best. I think people also need to remember is when we give advice, it's based on how you feel as a client. We're not giving our personal opinion. It's about coming up with a plan that suits you.
Yeah, and I think some of the factors you mentioned there, I mean, I love KiwiSaver. I think it's a fantastic scheme. I do think it has limits. And again, this is my personal opinion, but based on years of working in the area. And really want to emphasize that we're talking generally here because it can be horses for courses. But when I look at it, KiwiSaver has these huge benefits of the government contribution. If you put in 1,042, you get 521 per year. You have to put that in each year. You can't go back in a different year and put it in and catch up. So there's that. A 50% return is hard to find anywhere else, even if they've kept it. Then, of course, you get your employer match. The 3% is amazing, a really big boost. Some employers will even match up to more. Check with your HR or payroll if they do. Get it. Otherwise, it's like missing out on a pay rise. But once you've hit those things, on the numbers at least, and we're going to come back to the personality question, on the numbers at least, once you've hit those things, then to my mind, you start to have less benefit on the numbers side of things for locking your money away. Like you say, you might have other goals in life, right? Starting a business, early retirement, any of those things, you're not going to be able to use your KiwiSaver for it.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that's why it's important to really weigh up the benefits of what's going to be best for you. You know, we, as advisors and client advisors at AMP, we want to try and get the best for people's retirement, but we've also got to mention, like you said, there's other goals in place that people have. So absolutely, maximizing KiwiSaver, it's a great option if you can. You know, for a lot of New Zealanders, unfortunately, even contributing 3% to KiwiSaver isn't an option. And we have a lot of people on saving holidays, really, and they're not actually saving towards retirement. For those people that are, you know, they're maximizing KiwiSaver, that's when, you know, a managed fund account outside of it, it's a great option if they're wanting to continue saving. And like I said, KiwiSaver, just because you've maxed it, doesn't mean you can't keep going. You just won't get those benefits. There's some great tools around, especially retirement calculators. AMP has one on our website, and you can actually pop in your salary, pop in your contributions. And once you start changing your contribution rate, you can actually work out what that's going to do to your retirement savings and whether or not that's going to be enough, whether or not you need to increase it, or whether or not you're on track. So you've got quite a few range of options.
I love that. And I think you've mentioned before on the personality side of things, and I want to dive into that a bit more because, yeah, the numbers is one thing, the personality is another. And this has come up a bit when people have asked me about their kids. Because sometimes people will say, should I open a KiwiSaver account for my kids or should I invest outside of KiwiSaver? And the first thing is, unfortunately, if you're under 18, you don't get a lot of the benefits of KiwiSaver, or at least even if they have a part-time job, their boss doesn't have to do things like the employer match. They might. There are some great bosses out there. And then there are some who just will do what the letter of the law says, and the law says you don't have to. Sometimes people will ask me about that for their kids, and okay, they don't get all the benefits of KiwiSaver. But if you know that your kid is maybe not the best at spending money and you're worried about giving them a big nest egg that they blow, KiwiSaver can be an option of saying this is for a house deposit and house deposit only, right? So it does factor in these things of, do you trust yourself not to crack into your long-term investments? Because even if they do opt to invest outside of KiwiSaver, you're still thinking long-ish term, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's hard is, you know, with the rules, you're spot on. You don't get government contributions until you're 18. Your employer doesn't have to match their employees' contributions until they're 18. So the main benefit is really locking it away. And look, we may not want to give, you know, a lot of trust to 18-year-olds with a whole pile of cash when they turn 18 if we've got investments elsewhere. But I think it's great that parents are actually raising these questions now, because it gives you the chance to actually teach your kids a bit of financial responsibility before they turn 18. Unfortunately, you know, when it comes to kids investing, we'll deal with KiwiSaver a bit later. You know, it's one of those things that gets put to the back shelf. So I think when it comes to those conversations of, well, is my kid responsible enough at 18? Probably not. But that's also a good chance to actually start having those conversations with them and work out what their goals are. If they actually say, look, I want to go on an overseas trip, well, maybe KiwiSaver isn't the right option. If they want to save for a home, KiwiSaver could be an option as well. So you've got those changes.
And of course, there's always the chance that your kid turns out to be one of those with an amazing entrepreneurial spirit, and they want to use this money that you've been able to put aside for them as seed money for some incredible business idea. God knows, 20 years in the future, it might be something hologram related. But
absolutely. Or AI.
Yeah, exactly. God, probably AI will have taken over already by then. We'll all be extinct. But it's so hard to tell, right? And it's one thing to try and plan ahead for your personality, to try and plan ahead for your kid's personality that's still forming. I do feel for people, because you're trying to juggle all of these different aspects when you're talking to clients and trying to help them sift through it, are there any sort of clarifying questions that help you get to the heart of what type of investor they might be?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a few questions that are basically, these are the questions we have to ask. You know, how much risk are you willing to take? You know, are you wanting to see slow growth and small ups and downs, or are you wanting to see high growth and you're comfortable with high ups and downs in your balance? Another good question is, you know, what are you sort of comfortable with your account balance dropping over a 12-month period? Now, we hope it doesn't happen, but we've seen it over the last few years with COVID and interest rates going up. And I think what's really tricky for people is, you know, we were talking to people pre-COVID about what they were comfortable with, and people were comfortable with a 10 or 15% drop. But when it actually happens, it's a whole nother story. So those sort of standard questions, they're great to give us a bit of a, you know, starting point on building the foundation, but we also need to work out what their goals are. For some people, unfortunately, especially New Zealanders, we don't have a strong financial knowledge on what's happening in the market and what risk we're actually willing to take. So a lot of times when we're talking to people who have KiwiSaver who are nearing 65, it's actually trying to dive a bit deeper into what their plans are at retirement. You know, are you withdrawing all of your KiwiSaver to pay off debt, which could be a mortgage or things like that? Are you actually going to retire, or are you going to continue working? And what you'll find is people that are going to continue working, well, they may have a little bit more ability to take on a bit more risk, or that wanting to. At the same time, you've got people who are turning 65 and say, look, I need my money. I need to pay off the mortgage. And maybe those lower risk funds, potentially they may suit them as well. I think what we need to do a lot of time as client advisors is actually guide the conversation and say, well, you know, how long is your investment timeframe? And is that risk really suitable for what you're wanting to do? Because like I said before, a lot of people, they're willing to take that risk. But when we do see those drops in the market, that sort of changes and they're not actually comfortable with it.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much. That's Devin Whalen from AMP giving us the inside word on KiwiSaver versus other investments. And if you have more questions on this or anything else to do with money, do send them through. I've based a lot of this episode on the questions you've been sending me. We can always answer more though in a future episode. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok as Francis Cook NZ. Send those questions through there, and also heaps more money content on there for you. Don't forget to subscribe to Making Sense so that you get even more tips and tricks with your money. Until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.